Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon. It is Saturday, the 28th of December, Anno Domini 2002. It's the Saturday between Christmas and New Year's, and this is Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we will be taking your calls at the numbers you just heard. We've got email going on. We've got everything that you could possibly want for this lazy Saturday afternoon.
No, and we're still here, 52 weeks out of the year.
Whether we want to be a rain or shine, I mean.
Yeah. Even for me, on my anniversary.
Today is
18 years I've been married to my lovely wife.
Lori is a saint. There's no question of that.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
She hasn't decided to trade me in yet, you know.
Or she hasn't gotten a good deal yet.
That could be, too. I mean, you never know. I don't bother asking that question.
Right. Don't even
We were at breakfast, and some folks were saying, so what are you going to do for your anniversary? I said, well, I'm going to do the radio show. My wife's going off to work. They're sitting there saying, oh, nice anniversary.
And that's how they've survived 18 years of wedded bliss.
That's right.
Don't spend too much time together.
Right.
Nah, she's been fantastic. We're going to go out to dinner later on tonight. Matter of fact, I got my granddaughter, Ariel, with me today, so... You know, kind of celebrating all the way around.
Excellent. Well, give her my best. God knows she needs it.
Yes, me. Won't go there.
All right, we're going to go to the news, and we're going to start with Dave because he actually has some news.
Yeah, I was a little disturbed.
Oh, yeah?
And more so.
Oh, I see.
Than normal. Lately, I've been hearing on various radio stations this advertisement about you folks, you can call this number to... get information, and I don't know whether it's a sign-up or whatever they're going to charge you, but it's supposedly to protect your children's privacy. They're sitting there saying, oh, well, websites are required by law to sit there and ask for adult permission to take any of your kids' personal information, like where they live, how old they are, their address, and all this other information. Well, that all sounds well and good, folks, but the other thing that they keep forgetting about is, yes, it's a great policy if you live here in the U.S., but how many folks really know when they click on a website, where are they going to? You know, is it actually here in the U.S., or is it down in South America, or overseas? I mean, nowadays
right, since
you
not every site that's overseas ends in an overseas name. So
right.
There are a lot of .coms and .orgs and .nets.
That are all over what they call the World Wide Web. So if you want to really, you know, be active in what your kids are doing on the Internet, that's why I've been a strong advocate for years. As long as we've been on this the air, which is in our 14th year, is advocating to get the computer out of their room, down in a public area where your kids can, your parents can be watching what's going on. Because I'm sorry, these other countries are not obligated to go by those laws, and I don't care what the Federal Trade Commission or anybody else says, they can't enforce it.
Right.
So it's like again, one hand clapping.
It's exactly right. What is the sound of one government? Legislating. Steve, it was a really quiet week. The only thing I saw on the net at all about Apple was some error where sometimes on some programs some buttons don't look right. That was it. I found nothing.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet. Everyone's gearing up for Macworld in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But we did have some interesting and very, very sweet news come out about a week before Christmas. A guy, and I'm trying to bring up his name at the moment, was selling his PowerBook on eBay and went through all the typical things. He got the names and addresses and phone numbers, and the guy sent him a certified check for $3,000 to sell his computer, ship the computer off. Turns out the check was bogus. A certified check on a bank that doesn't exist. So he thought he went through all the protective stages to protect himself. And apparently what had happened is he started calling around to the different... law enforcement agencies. Eric Smith was his name, and he was at the University of New Orleans. And he sold it to a gentleman in Chicago. And that, well, that was at least the address he shipped it to. So he started calling the Chicago police, and, well, how much has been stolen? $3,000. You know, go away. You know, all right, give me your name and number. We'll get back to you.
Right.
It wasn't a big enough deal. So apparently what this guy started doing himself is tracing down the other items this same buyer had bought and making contact with the other sellers and finding out that it was a fairly organized, widespread fraud ring and was able to make another sale. And the shipping address was in a suburb of Chicago, so he called the police there, and it was, you know, one guy in a local police station,
right.
And he was all excited about, oh yeah,
right.
let's catch this guy. So they eventually did catch the bad guy. His name was Melvin Christmas. So that was,
sure it was.
Sure it was. Yeah.
Sure it was.
And it turns out that when the police raided his house, and along with the FBI and the Secret Service and the Chicago Police Department, all shrugged off the case because it was too small. When this local, you know, suburb police officer, they raided the house, they found tens of thousands of dollars in stolen merchandise, tens of thousands of dollars in bogus checks, and shut down a major fraud ring.
Just a little. That'll be a movie of the week,
right? Yeah. And
actually, nowadays it'll be a feature film because Hollywood is out of ideas,
right? And so the news all went around the net about this this poor kid and what he lost, and eventually it caught up with the national agencies, and all the national organizations were reporting it, and he actually got interviewed by Connie Chung on her cable TV show.
Ooh.
So it's it was the Mac community that he said he posted his story to several of the Mac bulletin boards, and a couple of people who lived in Chicago went to the address that was on the shipping news and were able to help trace the guy down, and you know, so rallying of the Mac community helped this guy get his computer back.
Cool.
and save who knows how many other people from the same fraud.
Yeah. That's really very
that's
nice.
Great. The
that's
holiday really season nice. Still kicking in.
Yep.
And on that warm and running, warm and fuzzy
running?
Note, we'll be taking a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's greatest and warmest computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's big.
It's grand.
It's grand.
It's New Year's Eve at the Holiday Inn Rochester South.
It's the New Year's Eve Grand Ballroom Package at the Holiday Inn Rochester South Holodome.
Here's what you get.
Deluxe overnight accommodations with check-in at 3 p.m., check-out at 3 p.m. Sit-down dinner at 8 featuring shrimp cocktail, tossed salad, filet mignon, and chicken Wellington combination, vegetable medley, oven roast potato, rolls, triple chocolate decadence cake, coffee, tea, and open bar from 9:30 to 1:30. Continuous dancing to live music from Boys Live. A champagne toast at midnight. And, of course, the Holiday Inn Rochester South Holodome gives you free hats, noisemakers, and favors. Then indulge in a complimentary continental breakfast New Year's Day from 8 to 2. All for just $189.95 per couple. $189.95 per couple. Includes taxes and gratuity. Call 475-1510. That's 475-1510. Because rooms are going fast. 475-1510.
For the biggest,
and best grand ballroom celebration at the Holiday Inn Rochester South Holodome, corner of Jefferson and East Henrietta Roads.
Herman Melville's Moby Dick, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
I am inside the whale. It is dark, it is cold, arg, and yet I am in good spirits. Because with Geico, I get immediate claim service. Arg.
We get the ball rolling on your claim the moment you call, and you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
If you loved ABC's The Bachelor, have we got a shocker for you. Wednesday, January 8th, the tables have turned, and Bachelorette is choosing between 25 guys.
This time, I'm in control.
On The Bachelorette, the stakes are higher.
Trista definitely has a lot of sex appeal.
The romance is wilder.
You don't know how long I've been waiting to do this.
Go for it.
As 25 guys battle to win one woman's love.
Bring it on.
One lucky woman, 25 oh-so-eager guys. All new The Bachelorette. The heat goes on Wednesday, January 8th on ABC.
Ah, sounds like you got my cold.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, here, try my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
What's that got that my cold medicine doesn't?
Effervescence, my dear. A glass of liquid relief. Its concentrated medicine is ready to go to work right away.
Makes my cold medicine seem kind of lazy.
Yep.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up nasal congestion and releases you from your worst cold symptoms fast.
Feel better?
Yeah. Hey. Thanks for sharing.
And now Alka-Seltzer Plus is back in its classic seltzer flavor.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Alamon K. Learning Center.
MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And just before we get to the phones, we have one more news item that could be important, particularly since it's our poll of the week. Sales tax on the internet.
Oh, yeah,
back
heard
in
about
the news
this one.
Again.
States all across the country are struggling with deficits well into the billions, and lots of officials are beginning to eye sales taxes on online shopping.
It's been a problem for a long time with mail order sales. Now you're adding mail order by phone. Now you're adding mail order by internet, and it's even worse.
Right. In California alone, such taxes could raise at least $200 million every year.
Well, you said you did some of your shopping by internet.
I did well over half my shopping over the internet this year.
A lot of places that I've visited do charge sales tax.
Well, if that store you're ordering from has a physical presence in your state, they collect
or
tax.
Or they're
for
registered
your state.
In New York State.
Or they're incorporated.
Wherever they're
right.
registered.
And, and one of the other sides of the coin is that even if the company doesn't collect tax for your state, you're still legally required to pay it anyway on your income tax forms. There's a line for out-of-state purchases.
Yeah, right.
No one ever does, but that's not
but
the point.
There.
It's
right.
there, yeah.
Right. It's an entire segment of the retail market they've been ignoring forever. Internet shopping is expected to hit $40 billion this year and could reach $105 billion within 5 years. $10 billion for computers, $4.7 billion for clothes, $2.8 billion for books, and most of that is untaxed. Unfortunately, collecting sales taxes won't be easy. Under a U.S. Supreme Court decision, a state cannot force a business to collect sales taxes unless it has a physical presence or nexus in that state.
Right.
So what will be interesting, a lot of online retailers, you know, there's a hodgepodge of local and state sales taxes across the nation.
Over 7,000 tax identities.
Right, exactly. You know, if they sell something in one zip code, it's one tax, and another zip code, mm-hmm. it's another tax, and there's no real connection to all of that. It's just not
just
there.
Just looking in New York State. I mean, here we got 8%. What is it, over in Wayne County, it's only 7%?
Yeah, Ontario County and Livingston right. County.
And with all the problems, Tennessee estimate they lost $13.3 billion in revenue last year. California lost $1.7 billion. New York lost $1 billion. $1 billion in taxes. Mm-hmm. Billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. So and particularly with the way the states just are bankrupt left and right, they may be going for this. So we may indeed see internet sales taxes coming
especially New York State. Look at, I mean, we were doing real good, and then with 9/11, now all of a sudden, you know, I mean, we're being taxed to death here. That's why a lot of companies are pulling out.
Well, my prediction, of course, is that companies will move overseas.
Well, that's why so many companies are incorporated in Delaware.
Where there is no...
There is no tax,
right.
And even the incorporation fees are ridiculously low.
Right.
Well, this year's computer sales. I know if you look at the figures in that, that's got to be really down.
Right.
I mean, you know, sales, I mean, Gateway, Dell, Compaq, all those places were, you know, trying to give all these great offers and everything else because, you know, just to get them under it, even get them out the door.
Yep. Anyway, that's our poll for the week, and we'll talk about that later, but right now we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Bob from Rochester. Welcome, Bob. How was your holiday?
Oh, wonderful.
Good.
How was yours?
Great, thanks.
I just got a question. I got a Windows ME.
Right, turn Steve's mic off.
I can't even get through the rest of the year without somebody. The first call.
The very first call. Go ahead.
This came with a computer I bought, so.
No, I don't blame you.
I mean, this was my first computer. I bought it last year, and this is my problem I have right now. I had MSN.
Yeah.
The internet, and I canceled. Well, I used it for a year, and I canceled it. And now I try to, you know, those AOL.
Right.
I put one of those things on, and before I had no problem. Now I can't get onto the internet.
You can't.
What error message do you get?
Well, I hooked up with AOL, and I get their
You can get to the AOL, but you can't get Internet Explorer to go?
Right, I can't get...
Okay, here's what... I know what to do.
And I tried everything that AOL told me to do.
No. They don't know what they're doing.
Okay, well, that's why
I just... Well, I just ran through the same thing. I just delivered a computer yesterday, same exact problem. The guy was on the phone with AOL for over five days.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there, uninstall, reinstall. Here's what you got to do. You got to start up ME in safe mode.
Start.
Okay, and then what you've got to do is you've got to go into your networking. Get rid of TCP IP and all the network
stuff.
All
that stuff.
Then... Now, this is going to be a little dangerous. What you've got to do is you've got to go into the registry.
And in the registry,
you've got to look for a folder called WinSock 32. Okay?
Okay.
You do a search for WinSock 32. It'll be a folder.
Okay.
You delete that folder. You restart ME back up. It will. Then you can go ahead and put back in the TCP IP and your network card.
It does it automatically.
Right. But okay. You put in the back in the TCP and make sure it's doing DHCP. It will then reinstall WinSock 32, and I guarantee you it will work.
Yeah, that's all I got to do. So go MSN save mode.
Well, make sure you've deleted all that other stuff.
Yeah, in save mode, restart the computer.
Where actually do I go for this?
You've got to go into the registry to get rid of the WinSock in safe mode.
What you do is you click the start button, click run.
Okay, go to run.
And then type reg edit 32, R-E-G.
Just reg edit.
Oh, reg edit, R-E-G-E-D-I-T.
And then you do a search on WinSock 32. It's a folder.
Okay.
I think it's off of local machine software. I'd have to have
you can even
just do the
just
search.
Do a find, yep. Yeah,
and do a find.
Can you just reg? What is it?
REGEDIT.
Reg edit, short for registry editor.
But be careful because when you go in there, you just don't want to go. You want to make sure it's a folder. You'll see it on the left hand side of the screen that says WinSock 32. Anything on the right hand side, you don't want if it's because if you're doing a search, it might find other references to WinSock 32.
Yeah, be aware that mucking about in your registry is not only dangerous. But
it can be catastrophic. Set it. Go into ME and set a restore point before you do any of this. So if it messes up, you can go back.
And so what you'll do is it'll be on the left hand side of the screen because when RegEdit opens, you divide the screen in like one third and two thirds. It'll be on the left hand side of it, and you'll see a folder. It's actually a folder.
Okay.
And that's what you want to select, and then hit the delete key.
The problem is that AOL is not an internet service. They are their own proprietary service with their own proprietary software and their own content, completely separate from the internet. It was never intended to be internet.
So I'm going from my computer to the AOL, and AOL goes me to the internet.
Right. So what AOL started doing is when the internet got popular, AOL was around long before the internet became popular. AOL gives you links to the internet, and that linking bit to the internet is what doesn't work very well.
Right.
Everything, if I try to go, it says action canceled.
Right. Well, if you want the internet itself and not the AOL content, our suggestion has always been to get a regular internet service provider and not AOL. If what you're interested in is the AOL content and maybe a little bit of internet, then AOL is the thing for you. But
well, I was just doing a little bit of both because I have a lot of family who's on the
Well, there you go. Then you got to you don't want to.
This will correct the issue though for you.
Because I was like you said, I was on days, hours and hours at a time.
Well, try this and let us know what it.
Like I said, I guarantee it'll work because I just delivered a machine yesterday.
Somebody else had the same problem, huh?
Exactly.
A lot of people have the same problem.
Exact same problems, exact same operating system.
And as long as you stay inside of AOL, it works fine.
Yep.
It's when you try to go to the internet.
Yeah, the minute you click on Internet Explorer, nothing.
But why did I have the problem with MSN?
Pardon?
When I had MSN, I had no problem.
Because MSN is an internet service.
Right, that's an internet service.
I understand what you're saying. So.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a completely different thing. Bob, we got to go. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
In just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Have car dealers turn you down for a loan?
Told you that with your bad credit,
bankruptcy,
late payments,
bad checks,
slow credit,
you've got to settle for some junky car?
Then listen up.
When other dealers can't,
Carlisle Mitsubishi can.
Carlisle can.
Get virtually anyone financed. Just log out at CarlisleAuto.com or call 586-8080 now.
Carlisle can.
Have you driving a brand new Mitsubishi Lancer,
Galant,
Eclipse,
Diamante,
Montero,
or Montero Sport
with absolutely no money down, with no monthly payment or interest until 2004, even with your credit pass? Just log on to CarlisleAuto.com or call 586-8080 now.
Carlisle can
give you the option of owning a brand new Mitsubishi or a like new import
or low mileage domestic car,
truck,
van, or SUV.
At Carlisle, you don't settle.
You choose.
Carlisle can
have you driving the car of your dreams today
with no car payments and no interest until 2004.
Don't let anyone tell you you can't.
With Carlisle Mitsubishi, you can.
Just log on to CarlisleAuto.com or call 586-8080 now
or stop into Carlisle Mitsubishi, 1177 Fairport Road today.
And P.S., the Outlander is here.
Some customers may not qualify.
Maxwell House is introducing two incredible new flavored coffees, vanilla and hazelnut. Radio can't bring you their sensuous aromas, but you can bring them to your home. Rich, nutty hazelnut and indescribably aromatic vanilla. The kind of vanilla you dream about on a cold winter day. New hazelnut and vanilla coffees from Maxwell House. Look for them in our Easy Open can. They're the latest way to make every day good to the last drop.
Only thing more thrilling than this event is the price. Cause all seats are still just $10.
$10
for the metal-crunching U.S. Hot Rod Boxster Truck Masters.
Backdraft.
Rambo.
American Guardian.
Eradicator.
Virginia Giant.
And more.
Still just $10
for the toe-to-toe robotic battle
between Galactron versus Reptile.
Plus hard-charging super trucks.
Still just $10
for the ultimate weekend of family entertainment.
You can't miss,
so don't wait.
Get tickets now at Ticketmaster, the Blue Cross Arena box office, or charge at 585-232-1900 or online at Ticketmaster.com. Tickets subject to convenience and handling charges.
All seats, $2 or day of show.
$10 seats excludes Gold Circle section.
Thunder National,
brought to you by your local Dodge dealers.
January 3rd, 4th, and 5th,
Blue Cross Arena.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this
is what?
This is Sound Bites.
Oh.
Is it unbelievable or what?
That's cozy.
Back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, but before we do, we've already talked a little bit about the poll, so I'm going to talk about it right now. Every week on our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you, we have a poll. We have all kinds of stuff. You should really explore this site, and don't forget to scroll down. Half the good stuff is down past the bottom of
your screen. It's amazing that folks don't know that.
But at the top of the screen is the weekly poll. Last week's poll was all about internet radio, listening to radio stations over the internet. There are a lot of them. Shoutcast has some, MP3.com has some. It's a pretty cool thing. We had 279 votes. We'd like to thank everybody who voted. And it was a dead 50-50 split. 140 votes for no, 139 votes for yes, which is close enough to 50-50 when you had 279 votes. It was pretty dead even all week long. So about half of you do listen to regular radio stations over the internet, and of course, once you've actually given us your vote, you can go over to AskNick.com and give us your opinion. And some of the opinions, of course, we have these stinking people all over there all the time. There are people who listen to old time radio shows. There are people who do a lot of listening in various places. BBC One is available, jazz,
well, I like
classic
the old
rock.
Shadow programs that you have.
Exactly. Up at my website, testbox.cob.rit.edu. You can get some of the great old-time radio shows. I love that stuff. This week we've already got, let me see, how many opinions have we got? 19 opinions so far. Some of them are actually pithy and useful. So this week's
Say, opinions are like belly buttons.
Everybody's got one. This week's poll is about the internet sales tax. Would you be willing to pay sales tax for internet purchases? 60 votes so far. So far we're running 73% no. So cast your vote. Let your voice be heard.
Well, then we should forward these on to our state representatives.
Exactly. Well, we have to get a lot more votes than 280 votes.
Yeah.
Frankly, 280 votes doesn't mean anything.
It may not matter if we're willing or not.
Right. We need commas in that number and a couple of them, maybe. So, at any rate, we're going back to the phones, and we're talking to Jim from Rochester. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Nick. How are you today?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Hey, I got a question. I have a couple computers. One's real old, and it runs on Windows 3.1, so don't laugh.
I know.
But I try to defrag it, and it comes up, and I'll tell you what I get. It says, error reading cluster so-and-so. Use a disk repair program to fix, and then run defrag again. My question is that repair disk available? And if so, where can I get it?
Comes with Windows. When did they come out with ScanDisk?
ScanDisk was 95.
This is probably 92 or 93.
Yeah.
It's that old.
Windows 3.1, 10-to-1 odds, it's probably a very old hard drive in that machine. What is it, 386?
I think it's 486.
Okay, 486. You might be able to go up on the web and look for a scan utility that'll still work in the old DOS 6.2.
Well, you can try the one that comes built into Windows, which is CheckDisk, CHKDSK, and then put a /F on it, which will
/what?
F.
As in fix.
It fixes the problems it finds.
Yeah, but it won't actually block out any bad clusters, so if they're bad, it doesn't mark them as being bad. What it'll do is, again, when you try to write data to there, it'll write to that bad cluster. There's some utilities that will do like the old days. PC Tools used to do it, that you could sit there and it would mark that cluster as being bad and nothing else would get written to it.
Basically, what you can do is back up all your data, do a reformat of the drive, and during format, it will map out the bad sectors.
Okay.
But if you're getting bad sectors, the drive is failing.
Probably going bad.
And you'll probably want to replace it.
Okay. In other words, then, just forget about it. Do what I'm doing with playing games or a few little records. And I have another one, so I just use the new one for what else I want to do.
Yeah, don't put anything important on it because the drive is failing.
No, nothing really important.
There you go,
I appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a nice New Year, boys.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Our next caller on Soundbites is Sal from Penfield. Welcome, Sal. What's your question?
Well, Happy New Year, fellas.
And Happy New Year to you, too.
So, I don't know if I got a boat anchor or not. I've been working with Microsoft for some time on a lockup problem.
Mm-hmm.
The computer locks up for 30 or 45 seconds periodically, and it happens in Internet Explorer or Publisher or Microsoft Word. And I've gone through a lot of things with them, and next on the list is a parallel install of Windows 98. What do you fellas think of that?
Well, let's find out some basics here. What? How old is the system? How much memory? What OS?
It's about 5 years old. It's a 128 meg of memory.
Windows what?
Windows 98.
Second edition?
I really don't know.
Well, the easiest way to find that out is if you go into Control Panel, and under System, you click on that, and the very first pane that opens up, it tells you over in the upper right-hand corner whether it's Windows 98 second edition or first edition.
I've done Service Pack upgrade.
Okay.
But I don't know if that takes you to second edition.
No, it doesn't.
All right, so you got 128 megs of memory on a Windows 98 machine. 5 years old. Have you been running the ScanDisk and defrag?
We've run ScanDisk on it.
Have you run a defrag?
I haven't run a defrag.
A defrag would do it. And you're saying this is locking up in
Publisher or anything? We noticed it in Internet Explorer. My daughter notices it playing games.
Now, does the mouse just lock up or does the whole machine freeze?
Well, the mouse, we notice it with the mouse, but the machine is frozen. It's really the machine. I always call it a mouse lockup because usually that's what we use the most.
The first thing that I would suggest, and then turn it over to these guys, is first checking on the video drivers. I mean,
that's the first place to check.
If you're pushing it, say 16-bit or 32-bit colors, I mean, you might want to try backing down to 256 colors. Also, look up on the web for any updated video drivers for your machine. The other thing is if you know, since it's an older machine, you might want to consider, if you want to put any more money into it, well, you can still get it, is get the Windows 98 second edition if you don't have second edition, and put that on your machine. That solves a lot of problems, lockups and everything else, issues that there were known issues with the original version of Windows 98.
How much memory do you have?
128 meg.
Yeah, see, that's it's not that. So I would start, I agree, I'd start with the video drivers.
I don't think we've done anything with video drivers, and I've been with Microsoft's so-called research team for a while.
Try upgrading, try checking to see if there are updated video drivers.
Do the kids play any games on that?
She plays games,
Now, games. See, when you go install some of these games, they can put in other DLL files that can alter the original Windows DLL files.
How would I check on these videos, on the video drivers?
Well, if the easiest thing to do is just look for the type of video card you have in your machine.
Yes.
And if you haven't updated, 10-to-1 odds, there's updates. And you go up to the website for that video card, look for drivers for that particular card, download.
All right.
Now, when you're going to install them, 99% of the programs will warn you that if you're going to replace a file that's, already, an updated version, it'll let you know, hey, the file you're going to replace is already newer. Do you really want to do this? You'd say no.
Yep.
So that's the easiest way to do it.
I can try that next.
I would also recommend running a thorough virus scan, too.
Well, I've got Norton, and we've run Norton thoroughly.
Now, when was the last time you updated it?
Oh, it updates automatically.
So have you checked that it is indeed updating?
Verify it.
It ran yesterday, and it did.
So you checked the date, and the dates are right on
there. Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. In fact, I was on their website a week ago.
It could be just something in the background running, hogging the whole processor.
You know, we've disabled device drivers two or three at a time.
It's been on Microsoft.
Gone through MS config and turned things
on. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have Norton.
Yes,
are you running just the antivirus, or are you running the whole suite?
No, just the antivirus.
Okay.
Yeah. But very frustrating because
that could be possible too. If you have Norton set for full paranoid mode, it scans every file every time you open anything. So you open a Word document, it scans the file. You open a game, it may be loading dozens of little files to bring up the graphic pages. That may be slowing you down. You can try turning Norton's protection level down a bit, so just scans.
Yeah, try that.
What happens is this computer works fine, and then after half an hour,
or the best thing
it'll
lock
up.
One thing you could do to even make it easier for you is once you start up your machine, you know how Norton goes down in the lower right-hand corner?
That's right.
Just turn it off, and then try running your games and see if it locks up at all.
Oh, yeah, I've taken Norton, and I've totally disinstalled it. Deinstalled Norton.
And it's still locked up?
It still locks up, yeah.
Yeah, then. Check those video drivers.
Check those things. Let us know.
Let us know next week, all right?
All right, that's right.
All right.
Okey-doke.
Have a new year.
You too.
Thanks, you too. We're going to take a call from... Well, I was going to take an email, but if you guys are all pointing to the phone call, we're going to go to Roger from Rochester. Apparently, we're taking the call from Roger. Roger, you've got
you can do
some,
your email after this.
You got some pals out here who want to talk to you. Go for it.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine. Happy New Year.
You too.
I have an HP LaserJet 4L, and I'm on Windows XP Home Edition. I was wondering how to continue printing on the same piece of paper without it having to be ejected. In other words, if I want to print one or two paragraphs from one document and then continue printing, you know what I'm saying?
The only thing you can do in that particular case is copy and paste.
Yep.
Open up a notepad or a Word pad or a Word document and copy and paste until you fill the page and then print that. There is, I'm afraid, no other way to do it. I'm sorry. I wish there were, and I wish I had a better answer for you. But we're going to take another break now while we hang our heads in shame. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer, me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.
You know those all-in-one tools? The ones you can use to saw a board, drill a hole, or even clean a fish? You know the way you can just use that one tool and do just about anything? If you do, then you get the general idea behind the new Subaru Baja. It's like an all-in-one vehicle, a comfortable car with room for four, a rugged all-wheel drive vehicle that can take on the roughest trails, and with the Subaru Switchback system, a versatile truck with a bed that extends to accommodate things like surfboards, bikes, and snowboards. It's more sport, more utility, more fun. When you get the Baja, you get a vehicle that can take you virtually anywhere and do virtually anything. Short of cleaning a fish, at least. Introducing the new one-of-a-kind all-wheel drive Subaru Baja. When you get it, you get it.
She's your little girl, the apple of your eye. You took her to ballet class when she was six. The night of her prom, you took picture after picture of your grown-up little girl. And now that she's a woman, she's come home from college so you can meet her fiancé, Chris. Who knew Chris would end up being a girl? You didn't see that one coming, did you? Just like the weather, you never know what it'll do. Be informed and eliminate the surprises with Rochester's official weather station, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet service, call 262-2485.
Hey friends, Lonsbury here asking you to start the new year by stopping out and picking up a copy of my monthly newsletter. You can get it at these fine sponsor locations: Best Set Tile and Hardwoods in Spencerport, Pace Window and Door, Invictor, Reed Eye Associates, any location, Romeo's Italian Restaurant at Hudson and Titus, Thule's Oak and Amish Furniture at Suburban Plaza in Henrietta, or True Hearts Rugs, 3400 East River Road. Start the new year outright. Pick up my newsletter, the Lonsbury Letter, from News Radio 1180 WHAM.
For her husband's affair.
He did not have an affair because you got fat and lost your job. By the way, the last time I read that commandment, it did not say, thou shalt not commit adultery, unless she looks bad or she lost her job. It just simply says, thou shalt not.
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham! Rochester's official winter weather station. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester. A clear channel radio station.
Yes.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hey, I just realized I'm a Verizon Wireless call customer. I could call for free.
Same here.
If I could get through. I told you guys when I went to Toronto, I spent like a half an hour dialing.
You didn't know the...
Swearing. Not swearing. I had children in the car, so I was dialing and muttering. We're going to go back to the phones because we have Chris on a cell phone, but I'm going to get to that email pretty soon because it's from Argyle and we don't need more bumper stickers. But first, we're going to talk to Chris. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Well, get ready for this.
Yeah.
My system, ME.
Ow! Thanks for calling.
Right. Actually, I'm thinking I'm doing a good thing. I went out last night and bought XP.
Yes.
To install that.
There is hope for you, yeah, Chris.
Was that the updated version, I guess, for
yep.
it?
It's an upgrade.
So I put the upgrade on last night, and then I had my old Norton on there, which won't run with the XP, so I didn't uninstall it, but I downloaded the newer version off the internet last night.
Yep.
And I went through all the setup. Everything's green except for I got the one flag, and it's saying files have to be, it's got the triangle, right? It says, it's got to check all my files, right?
Okay.
So as it's going through checking all the files, it gets up to like 100,000 files, and all of a sudden, the screen's gone, and then it just goes back to my regular XP new screen that I have now. But the antivirus went away, and then I go into it to check it, and it says I still have to go through that process.
Right.
Like I didn't even do it.
What I might suggest you do first. All right, you're on the internet?
Roadrunner.
Super.
Great. What you want to do is go to, you want to download a program called Stinger.
Stinger?
And it's Stinger.
All right.
You can find the link on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. And if you go down to the lower right, you'll see a link that says, I heard about a website on your show. And then when you get to that page, there's an alphabetical list on the right-hand column. Find Stinger. I won't give you the address now because you're on a cell phone somewhere. Probably driving through traffic and not having a hands.
I'm on the side of the road.
Excellent.
The other thing that I would recommend,
wait,
Chris.
Let me finish with this. What you do is you run that, and it will look for viruses that have a tendency to turn off your antivirus software. So I would do that first.
The other thing, though, you're going to want to do, since you just got this upgrade for Windows XP, and you're on Roadrunner, is go, if you're on Internet Explorer, you just go up to Tools, and you'll see Windows Update. And I can guarantee you there's going to be at least 30-some-odd updates to the Windows XP that you currently have on your machine.
Yeah.
The only one that I would not recommend installing is what the one there is called Service Pack 1 for XP.
That may already be included on the CD he bought, because they're shipping ones with Service Pack 1 pre-included.
Yeah, it could be, but it'll tell you when it goes to install, but I would definitely go up and look for all the updates. You'll be surprised at the number of updates it recommends to put on your machine.
I still have a lot of issues I got to straighten out with this when I get home tonight, but
Of the updates that might correct some of the issues.
I did notice one major thing, though. See, I was having a big problem with paying all this extra money for Roadrunner because I thought it was going extremely slow.
Yeah.
And I put on the XP, and now it's instant.
Yeah, blazes. Yeah, Windows ME.
It was probably a driver with your Ethernet card.
Right.
How much memory do you have, Chris, in the machine?
512.
Super.
That's a good number.
Yep.
Okie doke. Try that and let us know.
All right, wait a minute. Soundbites.org?
.org.
O-R-G.
O-R-G. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to an email now. We do have our own email site. You can send us your question for those of you who are too shy to get on the air. That's clearly not Argyle's problem, but Argyle from Rochester, who's running OS 10 with 256 meg of memory, has this question. You guys have mentioned that the high-speed disk media has some problems or inherent dangers. Media damaging the machines, etc. I run a Mac, but I don't think it was platform-specific. So what are the dangers? What is considered not a high-speed disk? The major stores in the area seem to have 48X and 52X in abundance, but 32X and 40 or 42X were hard to find. Advise, please. Anybody that polite has to get an answer.
The big issue was in DVD media, not specifically CD media. The DVD writer drives, mostly from Pioneer, which is the big OEM, they're starting to come out now with 4X drives so that the 4X media is becoming available. If you try to run 4X media on a 1X or 2X drive, it can damage the drive. There's differences in the way the media is written, you know, the tracking layers, things like that. So if you have a DVD burner, excuse me, you want to check with your computer manufacturer, whether it was bundled in an Apple or a Compaq, or you bought it separately, then go to Pioneer's page directly. And you can download a firmware update for the burner, the DVD burner, to allow it to use the faster media without being damaged. So it's specifically in the DVD burners, not the CD burners.
And there you go. Yet another definitive answer from Steve Ray and the crew at Soundbites. Our next caller.
Wait, my boots. I got to get my boots on. It's getting deep in here.
And you should have seen the look Rob just gave me.
It's the medicine he's on.
I'm on something else.
Yeah, we're all on two.
It's all good. I'm seeing colors I can't even name. It's just like the 60s. Our next caller
is
Mike.
No, if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Exactly. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I had a question on... I recently changed a hard drive. I had a hard drive fail on an older computer system. Replaced it, and reinstalled Windows 98.
What? Okay.
And now when I start up the computer, it brings me to an F1 or F2 setup to go into BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there a setting that I can change so it automatically starts Windows instead of going to this each time?
Well, what it might be having trouble doing is you might want to check in the BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that very first screen, in other words, when you go into the BIOS, most of them, the screen is split in half. The very first top one over on the left-hand side, if you hit that and enter in there,
mm-hmm.
you'll see your four selections for your IDE channels.
Right.
Make sure that like, if you've got a hard drive and, say, two CD-ROM drives, just set them all to auto instead of having it detect it. If they're set to auto, they'll automatically look for the hard drive. So if your other hard drive was set with specific parameters,
right,
it might be choking. That's why it's going to there. If you just go down and you know keep hitting the tab key or the arrow keys to get down to the channel 1, the master and the slave, and just make sure all four of those are set to auto.
Right, and I've done that.
Does it stay on this on the press F1 for BIOS forever? How do you
Well, F1 to continue or F2 to go, and it does, obviously takes you into setup.
And there's no question about memory size decrease or keyboard error. Press F1 to continue.
There should be some sort of error message just before that.
It says hard disk controller error.
Oh, there you go. So you're having.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
you have an error in your computer. You have to fix.
Yeah. So it might be like I say that hard drive is set. There's certain parameters that might have been set in there from the old hard drive, and you just switch it to auto.
Well, he said he did that, though.
Yeah, everything's set to auto, and that's what I thought would straighten it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may well be that either something you jarred something in replacing the new hard drive.
Okay.
And so you may have a loose connection somewhere.
Yeah.
It could also be that the card has loosened in the slot, or it could be that indeed the card is damaged, and that, in fact, you didn't have a bad hard drive to begin with.
Yeah, but most of the machines nowadays...
Yeah, it's on the motherboard.
All of them are on the motherboard.
I would at least check the connections, make sure they're in tight.
And re-verify that your master-slave jumpers are all set right.
Right.
That's the odd thing, though. Nowadays, it's very hard to find a motherboard without the controllers.
Yeah,
I know. So
it's even getting hard to find a separate hard drive controller if you want to put more than four drives in.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I thought by changing them would have been simple and just reloading and I run into several different problems. But
it may be. How big is your new hard drive?
It's like a six. It was a three that came out of there, and I put a six in it.
Well, and how old is your BIOS?
It's probably 7-8 years old.
Yeah, so it should be okay. There was an 8 gig barrier.
Yeah, I figured the eight was the max that could have mm-hmm. went in there.
Well, it's actually 1024 cylinders,
mm-hmm.
which usually works out to 8 gigabytes.
Right.
But
it's try some error there. Double check to make sure the time and all that's okay. The floppy drive, it's seeing the correct floppy drive. It's without seeing the actual
check
message.
Check that everything is connected correctly.
If you do hit F1 to continue, does it seem to work okay?
Oh, yeah, it just loads 98 and we go.
But there's still something in that BIOS that's incorrectly.
Try there's usually a load BIOS defaults option.
Okay.
And you can try that. Sets everything back to whatever its defaults are, which is usually auto, auto, auto.
Right.
And that may help.
Yeah, and that's where I am. But, all right, well, I'll keep on messing around with the BIOS, see if I can finally get it just to boot itself.
Yeah, keep in touch with us, will you?
Yeah, but check the cables and check your master-slave jumpers just to be safe.
Okay, great.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you're looking for a new car or SUV, now is a terrific time to make a great buy. Through January 2nd, Holiday Bonus Cash makes this the Buick year-end grand finale. Now you can move up to Buick with a $1,000 holiday bonus for a grand total of $3,000 total cash back on Century, ranked best premium midsize, and LeSabre, best full-size car and initial quality by J.D. Power & Associates. $3,000 total cash back on the Power of Regal and on the remarkable Rendezvous. Or qualified buyers can choose zero APR GMAC financing with zero down payment, zero payments for 90 days, and still get an extra $1,000 holiday bonus. Length of finance contract is limited. Take delivery by January 2nd. Drive away the spirit of American style during the Buick year-end grand finale. See your nearest Buick dealer today.
I want to make a toast to my best friends.
Ooh, champagne.
Hey, a toast.
I can't believe this guy.
So please raise your glasses of Great Western champagne.
Oh, here we go.
You guys have always been there for me. You make me laugh.
This is really good champagne.
You give me support.
Mmm, smooth and crisp, and I love the bubbles.
I'm honored to have you guys as friends.
Honey, we need to remember Great Western champagne.
So anyway, I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. Can we get some more Great Western over here?
Great Western champagne. One taste and no other champagne will do. Great Western Champagne Cellars, Hammondsport, New York.
Okay, boys and girls, here's the deal. You took dozens of truly magnificent pictures with your new digital camera over the holidays, but now all you have to show for them is a folder full of files in your hard drive. Chet Walker with the best news you'll have since Cousin Fred announced he has to get back to Topeka on the next flight out. Rowe Photo Video and Audio has this terrific new picture station where you and I can get really photographic quality prints of those precious images. Even better, you can crop, zoom, adjust density, even color balance, and show the world what an artist you really are. And you can do it instantly. Big 4x6 prints, just 49 cents, or you can take it all the way up to an 8x10. It really doesn't get any better than this. So, my budding photographic Picasso, the deal is simple. Bring in any digital camera media, stride confidently up to Rowe's new picture station, and walk out with a fistful of instant memories. You can do it at Rowe Photo Video and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue, or Rowe on the Ridge, Buckman's Plaza in Greece. Rowe Photo Video and Audio, voted by Rochester readers as Rochester's best.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Hey, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And on the phone, we have Scott from Fairport. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Hello, gentlemen. I probably committed the mortal sin of computer world. I accidentally hit the remap key.
Uh-oh.
And my keyboard, a couple of the keys aren't working. The E, let's see, the R always prints out E, and the N always prints out O, which means I can't go to soundbites.org.
Cool.
Right.
What can I do?
Go to wham1180.com.
Oh, well, M doesn't work either.
You're in a good fix.
Where's this remap key?
Yeah, where's this remap key?
On the keyboard?
On the keyboard.
What is it, a gateway?
Yes.
Okay, with the gateway keyboard.
Jesus crackers, the amazing Kresgen strikes.
Yes.
What you've got to do is go to and hold down the Control-Alt, and there's a suspend key.
Okay.
And what that does is by holding down the Control-Alt-Suspend, that will delete that programming.
All right.
And revert back to the normal
keyboard. Yeah, it just erases that macro.
Oh, that sounds easy.
Theoretically, it lets you switch between the QWERTY keyboard, which was designed to slow you down because mechanical typewriters kept getting jammed, and a Dvorak keyboard, which you don't have to move your fingers as much.
No, with this gateway one, though, you could sit there and program different keys, and then supposedly you could sit there and then program it to one of the F keys so that when you just hit the F key, it would go ahead and do all those keystrokes that you did before.
Huh.
It was a pain in the butt.
It's a neat feature until it doesn't work.
Right.
Right. Until you don't know. And I bet, Scott, just, you know, I'd lay money on the table that the answer to your question was in the manual.
Which I've long since lost.
It is.
Yeah. It's not just an object of derision. It's a useful document.
Yeah, but, you know, some folks just don't want to break that plastic because, you know, it keeps it so shiny.
I know, just in case you ever want to give away a seven-year-old computer as if it were brand new. Look,
The keyboard is gateway, but the computer is compact for serial.
Doesn't make any difference.
Okay, great.
Well, they might not like each other.
No, it'll work. I got at least five of those Gateway keyboards, and that's why we put the sticker on the keyboard, because once in a while we accidentally hook it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Scott, definitely write this one down.
Yeah. And maybe cover up that remap key with a don't push me.
How about if I just pop it off?
You can do that.
That's an idea.
Good.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take another quick email question here. John from Rochester, upstate New York. As opposed to the Rochester, downstate New York, I guess. Windows 98, 128 megabytes of memory. Every time I am booting up, this started a couple of days ago for no known reason, no software changes added or made. Windows 98 says I have a registry error. It will fix it for me and restart. Thanks. When it reboots, it says it has restored a previous version of the registry, but I get the same message all over again, and on it goes. I can ignore the message to restore the registry and reboot, but the system does respond and load software, etc. But the error window will not dismiss. I bypassed it and ran the Norton Utilities version 2001. It ran its registry checker and told me I had no problems. They don't seem to agree. I also ran Norton Disk Doctor. It told me I had some lost fragments, which it says it will save as a file. But it keeps restarting, it says, due to disk access during Norton Disk Doctor run, and it finds the same lost fragment over and over, another endless loop. Can I boot the entire system into the River Gorge or what?
Well, it'll probably be nailed for pollution there.
Right.
But if he wants to try one other thing before doing that, what you can do, it's John, is it?
John.
Yeah. John, what you want to do is boot it up into a C prompt. So you hold down the control key while it's booting. You get the menu and select command prompt only. At that point, you'll be presented with a C prompt. Type scan reg, it's scanreg space /restore. And what you will do is then hit enter. You will then be presented with a menu. And what it does is Windows 98 saves the last three known good reboots of the registry. So what you want to do is go back and pick an earlier date. So say today it failed on you, and you go in and do that, and you'll see the 27th, the 5th, and maybe the 22nd. Pick one of those other dates, say restore at this point in time. Try rebooting the machine, and hopefully that should correct your error.
Now, you may lose anything you've installed.
Program-wise, yes.
Right.
The program's in the registry, but that's easy to reinstall.
You just reinstall it and you're done.
And you have to hope that each of the previous restore points are not also corrupted.
Yes. Right, right, right. Our next caller on the phones is Joe from Rochester. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Before I get to my question, I have to ask this every time I call. Your TV show, when, if, will it come back?
Well, like I said, we're doing live chat online 7 to 8 p.m. On our
Friday nights.
I've got a little segment thing going on, but we do the folks who run the local station are very committed to the show and they want it back, and it's a matter of trying to figure out how to do it in the background
around corporate.
Didn't really want to say that, but they want it back, and it was as big a disappointment to them as it was to us.
Okay, good. Okay, my question. Windows XP, I just put this system together, and I'm having problems with DirectCD. The motherboard's a Gigabyte GA7DXR. It's a Samsung 401240 burner. I've stripped the whole system down to just a burner and my main hard drive, and I tried formatting a CD and then dragging over to the letter, and it keeps telling me the disk is... write protected.
Are you using the DirectCD built into Windows, or did you install another version?
No, I've got all that disabled. Everything, all those services are turned off, and everything's disabled.
What software are you using?
If you've turned everything off, then you can't run. You can't use the burner.
Oh no, I turned off the one that's built into Windows.
Okay, and you're using DirectCD.
Yeah, Roxio's.
With the XP update.
Right, with all the updates. And I thought maybe it was the burner acting up, so I took that out and I put my old SCSI burner in, and that did the same thing.
Now, are you burning these? Are you burning a CD or a CDRW?
CDRW.
And did you install with? So you're running Nero?
I was doing Ratio. I uninstalled that, and I tried Neuro, and that did the same thing.
Yeah, but no, see, with a number of these burners, you just can't switch between various products. Even though Easy Creator and Ratio are the same, they're different. And each burner is designed to work with a particular software package. So, in other words, if I've got a CD burner, I just can't say, because I like Easy Creator, I'd rather use that instead of Ratio, Neuro. You've got to use the one that came with the CD burner.
Or be able to buy a generic one that supports your specific drive.
Okay, it came with Ratio, and I've got the Ratio Platinum that I already had.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be okay, right?
Might be. Check to see if there's an update that adds your burner.
There is, and you've got to go to the Ratio and get the XP update. And they've got some specific instructions on how to update it for Windows XP.
I've done all that. And I also, now on the same hard drive, I've got 98 partitioned, so I went into 98 and did the same thing, and I got the same problem there.
All right, but the other thing you might want to try is also on the Neuro, they have the NCD software. Did you install that also?
I installed that, and I got the same problem.
Because normally when you put the NCD in, it will let you format a CDRW so you can just treat it like a huge hard drive.
Can you burn a plain CD?
When I use CD Creator and go into the actual program and do it that way, I can burn CDs all day long.
Not CDRWs.
No, it's just direct CD. That's the part that's giving me the problem. And I've gone through this for like a week. I've got things stripped down. I've tried different drives. I've tried different operating systems, different programs, and I just keep getting this error.
What it sounds like is, although you think you've turned off the XP software, you haven't. And it's fighting the regular software. I had that problem myself for a while. I'm afraid we got to go. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Stop. There's no negotiations with Mr. Saddam Hussein.
Stop. On the tape, Osama bin Laden praising recent attacks.
Al-Qaeda.
Whether he's alive or not, it's still going to go on without
terrorism.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
America on the brink of war.
The United States and other nations will disarm Saddam Hussein.
Listen to what's happening now.
A new alert says high-priority targets are in the aviation, petroleum, and nuclear industries.
Talk about what should happen next. Continuing coverage on Rochester's only news radio, 1180 WHAL.
Clear Channel Radio and your Jeep dealers salute the men and women of the United States Armed Forces serving around the world during this holiday season. We wish you all the very best and thank you for your service overseas. A special salute to the 401st Civilian Affairs Battalion from Webster. All of Western New York welcomes you home and salutes your efforts. Happy holidays from your Jeep dealers. Jeep. Only in a Jeep 4x4.
You know, many people put their faith in us every day, and they don't even know it. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, and one of our batteries might be under your hood right now. We've quietly become the number one replacement brand in America, and honestly, we like it that way. Not knowing it's there means it's doing its job. Because with one of ours, you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit interstatebatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Tested, trusted. Interstate Batteries.
Gold Formula Beautiful Hair Breck Shampoo is back.
Growing up, I used Breck Shampoo. Who didn't? So when I saw the Gold Formula Breck in the classic bottle was back, of course I bought it. I felt the difference immediately after washing my hair. It felt like it did when I was 18, and I'm far from 18. And Breck still has that amazing, clean, fresh scent and that rich lather. My hair felt clean and looked great. Soft, shiny, and manageable. Breck is back. I loved it then. I love it now.
Rediscover Breck Shampoo, and your hair can be beautiful too.
Watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Our next caller, Daryl from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Daryl. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I'm having a problem with the passwords on Outlook Express, my email program.
It used to be that when I entered the program, I would just automatically pick up the email for both Roadrunner and Hotmail. But about a month ago, it now, I've been in the program, it asked me for my password. It gives me on both accounts, gives me some error messages out. I went in and I have checked off those remember password keys within the program there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably within a week before this started happening, I did go through that adware program and eliminated, you know, those cookies there.
Yeah.
I also had previously done a reg cleaner, and there were a couple of missing links in there, and I eliminated those links too. And I can't, I've tried everything. I can't pinpoint why it's not remembering my passwords.
Now, when
I
it
also
asks...
noticed one other thing. In a regular Internet access program where it asks for your username and password, it used to be when I put the tab on the username, it used to show my username, and then I click it, it would enter my password in there, and I could say go. That didn't. That stopped happening too. So I'm missing something within my system now. I don't know what it is.
What antivirus software do you have on your machine?
McAfee, and that has been routinely updated, and it's updated as of last Thursday's run.
And what operating system?
Windows 95.
95. Wasn't that a bug, remembering the password?
But yes, it used to work fine.
Yeah, yes, but that was one of the big problems with Windows 95. It would remember passwords fine until it stopped remembering passwords, and then it would never start again.
I think it was in the dial-up networking update.
Yeah, it was.
They had a patch for it.
There was a 1.3 dial-up networking update. Good luck finding it now. Try Microsoft's website.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 1.3 dial-up networking update, and that fixed that problem.
The other issue is when you first turn on the machine, are you getting a password prompt to log into Windows?
No.
Did you used to?
No.
Because in some cases you have to log into Windows with a password, even if that password's nothing, in order for it to remember other passwords.
Right.
I had it set up initially, and when I say initially, this is for many, many, many months, that I had to click on the icon to get into Outlook Express. Then probably a month before I've encountered this problem, I had the Outlook Express automatically come on at startup. And that worked fine for a month or so. And so I don't associate it with having that Outlook Express start off.
When it asks you for the password on both accounts, you did something about it, you get some error message?
Yeah, the error messages have changed. When it first encountered, I printed them out. I'm not going to read everything here, but it started saying, there's three of them specifically. It said, unable to pull for new messages on your HTTP screen server. Second one was, header download for the inbox folder did not complete, and the third one was there was a problem logging onto your mail server, and then they give error codes and other stuff.
Well, that all sounds like it never dialed into the internet in the first place.
Yes. Now I don't get that message anymore. I don't get those three messages anymore. I got some other variations, and specifically, I don't have that email server.
How do you dial in, or are you on a broadband?
No, Roadrunner. It's Roadrunner. So. It was when I entered in the program, it was just automatically going out to Roadrunner and pulling in
Well, let me suggest that you start with this update. Now, unfortunately, Windows 95 is no longer supported by Microsoft, so I don't know that you're going to find the update on their website.
Right.
But what you're looking for is the dial-up networking 1.3 update.
Okay.
That solved this and many other dialing problems.
Or the networking TCP
problems. In general,
yeah.
Right. I had gone through and tried to look up information on some of those error codes. It gets codes like 0x800cc32.
Right.
I did find some information on those, but it didn't... I tried it, and it didn't do anything to correct the problem.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
try this update first.
Okay. I'll go looking for that and see if I have some luck finding it.
Do a search on, if you don't have any luck digging around on Microsoft's website, go to Google and do a search.
Okay.
For dial-up networking 1.3.
Or maybe DUN 1.3.
Yeah, done. It could be done.
DUN.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
1.3.
Okay, I'll try all three of those variations then.
Okay.
Thanks, Daryl. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Our next caller, Justin from Rochester. Welcome, Justin. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for the airtime, guys. Happy Easter.
I just found dial-up networking 1.4 from Microsoft's software knowledge base.
Great. Put the link. Daryl, the link will be on our website. Is it for Windows 95?
Yes, all the 95s and 98.
Perfect. Go ahead, Justin. What's your question?
I just thought of this one. If you're putting a tower away, you know, boxed and packaged, what's the coldest environment you could put it away for in storage, do you think?
I'd want to keep it around at least 55 or so.
55?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Most of the components will have their own operating and storage temperature ratings in the documentation. So go with whatever the highest of them are, because you don't want that one to go any lower.
And usually storage is not a problem as long as you make sure you warm it back up before you start it.
Okay, gotcha.
It's less... humidity is a problem.
Yes.
But in terms of temperature...
But it's a dry heat.
It's not... You'll find an operating temperature, which is not important to you, because if you're storing it, that's not a big deal. I don't know that storing it is a problem as long as it's tightly wrapped against moisture. What's more important is that you thoroughly warm it up for a day or two before you start it up again.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you guys have done this, but I just found some documentation that on XP you can run up to 10 monitors. And I'm just wondering if any of you guys have hooked up multiple monitors on any of your operating systems or machines.
Yes, I have.
As a matter of fact,
I had one client that we hooked up through the ATI cards. We did 6 monitors.
Is it as easy as they're proclaiming?
Pardon?
Is it as easy as they proclaim, like as far as getting the drivers loaded and good to go?
Yeah.
There's a lot of video cards coming out now where one card will drive two monitors. So you don't
need a headed video card, recall.
Rather than having two cards for two monitors.
There are two ways you can do this under XP. You can install multiple video cards, or you can install a multi-headed video card, or you can install multiple multi-headed video cards.
Exactly. That's what I did.
As many as you have slots.
As long as you have XP-specific drivers for the cards, you should be good.
Okay, that's what the problem is. Okay, thanks.
There you go.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Our next caller, Donald from Perry. Welcome, Donald. What's your question?
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You too.
Happy New Year. I do have a 7.56 talk on CD that I watch once in a while.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Do we get the answers right every time?
Oh, yes.
All right.
So I keep hoping we'll get the answer wrong next time.
Yeah, right. Hey.
Okay, there's one person that had a problem with booting up to the operating system. They got the F1 to continue.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find that the IDE cable might be messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that could do it. Not only that, sometimes the master boot record needs to be cleaned or something.
Yeah, sometimes the cable could be just loose, and so like one pin isn't making contact.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to make it run, but not enough to pass diagnostics.
Yeah, right. That's an excellent point. So if Mike from Rochester is still listening, check your cables. Great point, Donald.
Okay, and then if possible, I'll update that BIOS.
Yes.
That would be another thing to do.
Yeah. Yes,
but he says, the BIOS. Though,
well, even so, it can't hurt. Yeah. It can't hurt to do an update if you've got one. You can hurt. You got to be careful when you do a BIOS update. But try the cables first. It's an excellent catch. I love it when people call in and answer the questions. We'll just sit here and say yes.
And if you want a copy of that 7568 talk, I'll give it to you.
I would love that. Thanks.
Okay, commercial free.
Excellent. Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
I love that idea. Thanks. It's always good to have some sort of historical document on hand. Our next caller, Bill from Lockport, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got two questions I want to ask. One is very quick and fast. I put a CD writer in. I need to know it's a 48/16/48. Can I go like a 32X in that, or do I have to stay at a 16X?
If it writes CDs at the highest, you can't write higher than it writes.
Right.
Okay.
You will end up with errors and problems.
And you shouldn't.
It doesn't matter what the speed is. You can't get higher than the rated max.
Because I know the one I did transfer in that was at a 17X, and it did transfer that one.
And you shouldn't necessarily buy media that's rated faster than your fastest speed either.
Right.
Okay, that's what I need to know. I have another computer that I got from an individual on that. It was just a 2 gigabyte with a 95 Windows in it and that, and I was going to transfer some files that I can end up using and then format everything and then reboot it from 98 to 98 upgrade and everything. Mm-hmm. I went into it, started up, and nothing came up on the computer at all. It just was completely dead. I tried to format it. I tried to put a startup disk, everything in there. And
does the video work?
The only thing that came on was the monitor. It just gave me some basic information.
Do you hear the hard drive spin up at all?
Yes, it did.
So you got the monitor, and it counts up the memory and stuff like that.
Yep.
You could go into the BIOS if you want to?
I can't get anywhere.
You can't get into the BIOS?
No, nowhere at all.
What model computer is this? Who makes it?
Oh, I don't know offhand. I'm someplace else in that. I thought I'd give you a call.
Right. The thing of it is what it might happen is if it's an old, like you said, an older machine.
Yeah, I think it was a 94.
All right, 10 to 1 odds. What's happened there is the battery on the motherboard has died.
Yeah, it does show a clock.
Hmm?
It does show the clock running. But the clock was never updated.
Right, but what it also can do is lose all the information, especially on the older machines, on what size hard drive it had in there, floppy drive and everything else. These older machines, you had to go in and manually put all those parameters in.
Right, I know where I've been into that section and that, and there was some, I can't remember the name of it offhand and that, inside there, the parameters.
Right. But what I think you want to try is see if you can find the battery and replace it.
Yeah, it's the soldered on type.
Next to it, what you want to do then is next to it, you should see like four prongs sticking up.
Yeah, there was three.
Yeah. Well, there's actually four. One is missing.
Okay.
And what you want to do is you can go to like a place like my friends over at Goldcrest, and they still carry, believe it or not, it's the only place in town I've been able to find is the old lithium square batteries.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
And you just clip it on there, and it will then allow you to
Yeah, they've got the clips and the transport and everything for it.
Could I ask you something on that as well? What if I just wanted to run a lead to my other tower, to that tower?
No.
To do what? No, it's not going to work. That machine has to boot. We got to go, Bill. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Nissan practically invented the four-door sports car. We changed the way people looked at SUVs and raised the bar for the midsize sedan. Now, it's the next big thing from Nissan, our national year-end event.
Check this out.
Get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months and $1,000 cash back when you buy a new 2003 Sentra from dealer stock. With a great sound system, 8-way adjustable driver's seat, and power windows and locks, this is one fun ride. Now, get 0.9% and $1,000 cash back at Nissan's national year-end event, the next big thing. Nissan. Shift. Joy. $28.16 per month for $1,000 borrowed. Down payment may be required. Subject to NMAC Tier 2 credit approval. See dealer for details. Offers end 1603.
Soundbites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Frank, all the way from Kent. Kent, New York, Frank?
That's right, Kent, New York.
Where is Kent, New York?
Oh, it's out past Hamlin Beach.
Very nice place. Cool. We'll be out to visit this summer.
Oh, I wish you would.
I'll be there. Not to play with your computer, just to hang at the beach. Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. We're planning to head south in our motorhome. I'd like to take the laptop along with me.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one, is it I have an adapter so I can hook the lap up to house current.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also get an adapter to hook it up to the cigarette lighter in the motorhome?
Pretty much.
Where would I find that?
Lind Electronics, L-I-N-D.
Okay.
They sell adapters for pretty much everything. The trick is you have to get an exactly specific adapter.
Okay.
You also might be able to find a universal cigarette lighter adapter at one of the electronic stores.
Like Radio Shack.
Check with the manufacturer of your particular...
They might even make one themselves, yeah. Okay. The trick is you've got to get the connector right, the right diameter for inner and outer, and the right voltages.
Right.
Right. So start with your manufacturer. But yeah, they do make them.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. Your motorhome doesn't have a regular 110-volt outlet anywhere?
Well, not one we're on the road.
Yeah, all right, right now when you're driving, exactly. Yeah. Right,
12-volt.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'd like to have it accessible while we're driving.
Not while you're driving, but for the passenger.
That's true.
Exactly.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But it can be done, so check with your manufacturer.
Okay, question number two. When we're at campsites, quite often they'll have a phone modem so I can get onto the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently with AOL, and I have to figure out which are the free AOL numbers, which is difficult to do. Is there a universal way to get on? Should I be with another provider?
No. What you can
It's all the same thing. You have to know what local phone numbers are in whatever
city
you're
in. What you're going to have to do is, say you're down in Tennessee.
Yeah.
You'd have to know the area code.
Right.
So you can sit there and say, new location.
Right.
And it would say, okay, what's the area code?
Yeah.
It would then, take you to the screen, put in the area code. It'll go off, dial the 800 number to find the local numbers for the area that you're in.
Yeah, but I don't know if from the particular location, if it's a free call or if it's full.
Right, yeah. Is Exchange 352 local to where I am right now area code.
Right.
Your best bet there is to find a local phone book that should tell you what the local phone exchanges are.
I was wondering if there was a better way.
Well, or ask at the campsite.
See if someone else knows.
I've noticed there's notices for 800 numbers for some of the other providers.
Right. Well, AOL has one too, but there's like a $5 an hour surcharge to use 800 numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, it's free for the moment.
Okay, so there's no easy answer to my question.
Your best bet, I think, is to call the folks running each and every campsite and ask them what their exchange is.
Okay.
And
that's a good point. If you happen to have one in the exact exchange.
And if there is one in the exchange, you win. If not, then you're going to have to do a little more research, a little detective work, to find out what's free.
Okay.
Well, if it's in that area code.
Oh, okay. I think you pretty well answered
my
question.
It's in the area code, yeah.
No, not necessarily. You hear area code 585. If I call Avoca, that's a long-distance call.
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying
is
if he pulled here into Rochester and he put in 585, it's going to give him...
If you're in a big enough city. But, a friend of mine has a campground in
Prattsburg. Yeah.
So you type in Rochester, you get phone numbers in Rochester. That's probably long distance from Prattsburg.
It would be a toll call.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but there's no instant answer, but give that a shot.
Okay, well, thanks for your help, guys.
And of course, while you're on the road, you'll be emailing us.
Oh, absolutely.
And letting us know how the trip is going.
I'll do that.
Perfect.
Hey, tell me again your website name.
Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y.
Okay, soundbites.com gets me a hearing aid station.
Yeah, that's somebody else. We're soundbites.org, O-R-G.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you.
Technically, we're organized.
We were at one point organized.
And they can always get to it from the wham1180.com. If you ever forget our particular name, if you go to the wham1180.com, scroll down on the left-hand side, you'll see our three faces. You can click on that, and it will lead you to our webpage.
Yep. And our next caller, Ed from Gates. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi. I had called earlier, and I spoke with Dave and Steve, and I couldn't do the wooden function. I have a compact Passario 1275. It's an older machine. It's running Windows 98.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what happened, I inherited it from my daughter. I took and updated all the window files from Windows for this particular. And then I updated all the Norton antiviruses. And the only other thing that I had done was taking some of the icons that were shortcuts that I know would never use. I just moved them into my documents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I went to shut down, it would not shut down. It just went to the Windows 98, Windows are shutting down window. And at that point, I had to leave. So I just had to use the kill button. And now when I turn it on, I still can't get past the Windows 98 window.
Login.
Shutdown.
Startup. Oh, shutdown.
Shutdown window.
There's a shutdown patch.
Several shutdown patches, actually.
Yeah.
Depending if you're running first edition or second edition.
I think it's second, but I'm not all that certain because I haven't had it all that long. But I, like I said, I just finished putting all the updates into it. So
what you want to do?
Well, this one isn't found by the software update page. You have to manually search for it in the download library.
I see.
And it's the way you can find out what version of Windows 98 you're running is if you go into the control panel, there's an icon called System. If you double-click on the System, up in the upper right-hand corner, it will say Windows 98, or it'll say Windows 98 Second Edition.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
From there, then you can go up to the web and do a search for Windows 98 Shutdown Patch.
Mm-hmm. On Microsoft's website.
Right. You can just search Google and it'll find it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I'm afraid that's what you have to do. It's a known problem with Windows 98. And since 98 is now going to be off of regular support, I doubt that it's ever actually going to be fixed, except by this patch.
I can't use the computer, though. How do I do this?
Well, yeah, you just go look for that patch. It's still available.
When you turn the machine on again...
It still goes to that window shutting down.
It says...
I can't get nothing but the Windows screen.
It never boots up?
No.
It comes back to Windows is still shutting down?
Unplug it from the wall?
Is
this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a laptop. A laptop, I'm sorry.
Oh, so it's still on battery. Battery out.
Yeah, you got to pull the battery out.
And the AC out. Because when you try to turn it off, it isn't turning off.
Take the battery out of the laptop also.
You need to do a hard restart. To get it to start booting again.
Take the battery out, take the
unplug it
from the wall, and leave it for about an hour, and then plug that all back in again, battery and everything. Well, unplug it from the wall first, then take the battery out, and then put the battery back in, and then plug it back into the wall, and that should let you boot up again. You're going to get all kinds of error messages. It's going to do some testing, but it should work fine.
Oh, thank you so much.
There you go.
Those are the best.
Thank you. That's what we like to hear. Our next caller, Kevin from Geneva, New York. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
I always want to know. I was trying to do OS on my computer. I was running Chinese version of the Windows 98.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And also, I got XP. I tried to put XP over it.
Yeah.
And I got an error on it. They say it's not compatible because the language. Problem.
Right.
Yeah, it can only load one language at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I heard about it was like some kind of switch. If you got two hard drive, you can switch back and forth to whatever.
Sure. Yeah. If you put a second hard drive on your machine, and if your BIOS is new enough, you can go into the BIOS and tell it which drive to boot from.
They've got even better than that. Now, I forget the manufacturer, and I'll have to look it up, but what they've got now is literally this little panel that you can have on the front of your machine, and you just sit there and hit the button, and it can go between one or four hard drives. So you can literally have four separate operating systems on there, and depending on which light is lit, that's the hard drive that it becomes the master.
But the point is, you can have multiple hard drives on your machine, each one with its own operating system, and depending on which one you boot from, that's the operating system you get.
And that becomes the C drive.
And that becomes your C drive for the time you booted into it.
Do you know where I can find out stuff you're talking about?
Well, all you need to do is to buy a new hard drive and install it.
Mm-hmm.
Remove the old hard drive and install Windows XP. It'll install on that new drive. Mm-hmm. Now you can then turn it off, plug the old drive back in, and unless you buy, if you want to buy this switch, you can do that, but otherwise, you can just go into the BIOS each time and pick a different drive to boot from.
There's a drive priority order.
Drive priority order. We got to go. It's been a great week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, our producer. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next Saturday at 12:25 p.m. on 1180 WHAM for Soundbites. Have a great holiday. Have a terrific new year. And
Happy New Year.
See you next year.
Pop. culture is simply the things that revolve around hedonism, gossip, and it's just another sign of how really out of touch the left is when it comes to substance, when it comes to things that have meaning and that last.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham.
It's big. It's cool.